To be a wordsmith is defined as a person who writes, an author, a journalist, a person who commits their thoughts to paper. But I believe it is so much more. The ability to craft a story, to change lives, to transport the ordinary life to an extraordinary place, to put words on paper and awaken the imagination in ways that the reader never dreamed possible. Yes, to have the ability to see what isn't there and make you see it too. To awaken the senses in new and amazing ways, like feeling a cool breeze on a hot summer day on your cheek. To smell wildflowers as they bloom. To taste a delicacy on foreign soil. To feel like you've never felt before, touching places long forgotten, connecting your soul in new ways. That's what writers do. It's my pleasure to host Carolina Writers Speak, a new podcast, a chance to hear actual writers' voices, hear what inspires them, experience their trials and their struggles, and realize that we all have a story and it's worth telling.
Good morning, this is Rose Cushing, and I'm the host of Carolina Writers Speak, a podcast for readers and writers out there in the world. And our guest today is Natalie Banks, and Natalie is from the Wilmington, North Carolina area, and she has released 4 books, working on a new one. So Natalie, tell us a little bit about you as a person and a writer.
Hi, Rose. I'm so happy to be here. I really appreciate you inviting me on the show. And I love talking about being a writer. It has been a lifelong passion for me. I was a big reader when I was a kid. I just devoured books. I would much rather have lived inside of books than, you know, outside in the real world, which I think a lot of us, you know, readers can relate to. And I was about 12 years old, and I had just finished reading a book that had just disappointed me in all ways. I was so brokenhearted for the character, and I didn't know what to do, and I actually happened to be on an airplane flight. We were flying to Colorado at the time, and I did the only thing that I could think of, and that was to fix it for the character. I wanted to make it right, so I pulled out my notebook, and I rewrote the end of the book with my little 12-year-old brain, who had no experience with writing whatsoever, but I was so desperate to fix it. And so then I went back to the author's book, and I read, and then I stopped where I felt she had gone astray, quote unquote. I don't think she would have agreed with me, but, and then I read my ending, and I was so satisfied, and it was at that moment that I knew that I wanted to be a writer, and it just absolutely just swept through my life. And, you know, even though I did not start publishing books until in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, I wrote the entire time since I was 12. All through college, I took classes on writing because it was in my heart. It's just, you know, I really believe in divine timing and that we're supposed to, you know, learn and grow and go through things. And so my writing journey started at 12, but then again, it didn't really start until 5 or 6 years ago. I guess it's two different journeys, I guess is a better way to put it.
Right. So are you traditionally published with a publisher or do you self-publish?
Well, I'm actually I'm on the threshold of kind of changing what I'm doing. I have been independently published for my first 4 books, and it's something that I'm extremely proud of. I had fantastic results in garnering readers and meeting so many wonderful people. And was selected by Women's World Magazine with my last book for one of their top 5 reads. So it was amazing to see what can be done as an independent author when you set your mind to it. But there was also this part of me that little girl dream was still alive inside of me to have that traditional book deal. So just recently, I have been working with a literary agent, and together we're working on book 5 in hopes to try out a new route, and that's to get that one published traditionally. So I'll have to keep you posted on how that goes.
Absolutely. And when you did your self-publishing books, You know, how did you go about marketing them and getting people to pay attention? Is there any tips you can give our audience for that?
So the best tip I can give you for that is to make sure that you write a really good story and it's something that you can be proud of. Because the most important person and opinion about your book is always going to be your own. So you got to have a product that you're proud of. And then secondly, you got to believe in yourself. And that's, I think, what really pushed me to get out there. And I took all kinds of routes. I mean, I could talk to you for hours with different methods of marketing that I've done. You know, from Amazon ads to Facebook ads to door to door with bookshops, you know, going out to festivals and events. You know, I think honestly for me, I've been so blessed that word of mouth marketing has worked so well for me. And that kind of brings me back to the write something that you can really be proud of, because if you just slap something down on paper, you know, and we've all done it as writers, sometimes you just got to get through something and you got to get something out there. But, you know, when you write from your heart and you write something that you just are so passionate about, the reader can feel that in the story. Like even my very first book, there's grammatical errors. You know, some missing words here and there. You know, I was just getting started. I didn't really know what I was doing. But I wrote that book with just such fervor because I loved the story so much. And honestly, even though my fourth book is so much better written, a better product, my readers, their favorite, hands down, is my first book, because that's my heart is in that book. There was no fear, no trepidation. What are people going to think of this rose? So, in answer to your question, is the most important thing. It's just to write something that means something to you.
And what genre did you choose to write your books in? Or are they different?
All of them are romantic suspense. So, my fifth is more of a domestic suspense. For those of you that are not familiar, I'm sure most of you know romantic suspense. You know, that's a romantic story with a suspenseful background. Something's going on that you don't know what's going to happen to the couple involved. Domestic suspense is rather than just it being a couple. No, it can be a couple. But domestic is exactly what you think it is. It's, you know, families, neighbors, cousins, you know, that type of thing. So it's going to be more of a story that's suspenseful surrounding regular people rather than love interests.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. And how did you choose that genre?
Well, romantic suspense was very easy for me because, number one, I'm a romantic at heart. I am a sucker for a love story. I love love. I think it's the most amazing thing in the world. And then I also love thrillers. You know, growing up in the 80s, watching all, you know, that was the thing, you know, the thriller movies. And I just could eat them up. So, discovering the ability to put together a thriller with a romance just excited me beyond belief. Even though most of my books are kind of tempered with the thriller part, I definitely don't go too dark or too scary. Because, you know, people like to read for enjoyment, but they also like to read for thrills. So I kind of have a balance in there, but it's a lot of fun to be able to write about love and the thrills.
Sure. Sure. So tell us about your books. Start with your first one and let's talk about them.
Okay. So the first book I wrote, the one that I referred to a moment ago, is called The Water Is Wise. And this is about a woman whose husband died, the love of her life. They went on a trip to Mexico and he drowned and they never found his body. And 14 years later, she's walking down the streets of Wilmington. All my books are set in North Carolina. She's walking down the streets of Wilmington and she sees a man that is like a doppelganger to her husband that had passed. Like she's just certain that it's him. And the man tells her that he is not her husband. My character is just, she's convinced that he is. And because of this convincing, she, you know, pursues a relationship with this man and they do fall in love. So the story centers around her trying to figure out, is she in love with this man because she thinks that he's her dead husband, or because he's like her dead husband. And what is his story? Is he her dead husband, or is he just some man?
That's the summary
of that one. Not the best eloquently put, but you get the idea of it.
Yeah, that's a cool story. I'm anxious to read that.
Thank you.
Now tell us a little bit about your second one.
Okay, so the second one is called The Dark Room. That one has got a little bit more of an edge to it. It's about a lady who has always been the good girl. She's never done anything wrong. She doesn't tell lies. Like she's just, you know, good girl in the dictionary. You've got my character, Anna. And one day, she meets this bartender. She goes out with her friends who begs her to go out. She meets this bartender. He's good-looking, suave, and she gets sucked into his world and has an affair with him. The affair goes on for a little bit, and she decides that she can't do this to her husband anymore. She's just got to stop. So she puts an end to the affair. She's gotten away with it scot-free. Nobody knew. And she's happy. She feels better about herself. But not long after the affair ends, she starts being stalked. And the person that's stalking her has got it out for her. And they clearly know about the affair. And because nobody knew about the affair that she thought of, she couldn't ask anybody for help because she didn't want her husband to know that she was being stalked because she was terrified of him knowing the truth about what she had done. So the story kind of accumulates, in with her having to face her stalker on her own while a hurricane is going on in Wilmington. So we've got that little extra excitement.
Wow. Wow, that's certainly possible because I grew up on the coast.
Yeah, we've had more than our fair share in the last few years.
For sure. So then that takes us to book number three.
Now, book number three is called The Canary Song, and that is my personal favorite that's published. I do have one that's unpublished that has taken the lead spot, but I'll have to talk about that one on another day. But The Canary Song is one of my favorites because it is a dual-layered book. It is about a husband and wife who lost a child, and the woman, when she lost her child, she really went into a dark place and she shut the entire world out. And in doing so, she lost her connection with her husband. He tried to reach her for so long that she felt responsible for her child's death. And she did not want to connect with anyone. She didn't feel like she deserved that. And by the time she came out of her darkness, she realized that she had lost her husband's affections. In fact, he didn't even want to be with her anymore. So she booked a cabin in the mountains of North Carolina, one of the primitive cabins where there's no electricity, no running water, because she really needed to get him alone so she could get him focused back on her. And while they're there, there ends up being an earthquake, which is crazy enough that we do have earthquakes in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And the earthquake takes out the only bridge to get from the rural area that they were back to town. And so they're left basically abandoned in the forest. And the Linville Gorge has to be crossed in order to get back to civilization. And it's one of the most treacherous gorges in the on the East Coast, rather. And so her husband leaves her there at the cabin to go and try to get help for them because help never comes. And he never comes back. And she's left alone. So we've got a suburban housewife completely alone in the primitive cabin in the middle of the wilderness with no way to survive. So the story is actually about her traversing the wilderness, but also coming face to face with that grief that got her in the situation to begin with. That traversing the wilderness was mirroring traversing that grief that she never fully processed.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that the canary song is the name of the book is because there was a little yellow canary that kept coming to her during her journey to give her hope.
What a beautiful touch.
Thank you. It's a very special book to me. I can't let go of those characters.
I can understand.
And, and, the, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just was going to say, I can understand. I mean, that's very touching. And so many people's marriage breaks up if they lose a child. Almost nobody survives that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very difficult.
I'm sure it would
be. And I interviewed a lot of people and I did a lot of research. I personally have suffered miscarriage and a stillborn, but it's a different animal, you know, losing a child that you've known. So I really wanted to make sure that I did right by the women that had experienced that type of grief, to make sure that I portrayed that, you know, how their hearts are. So I think that was another reason why I love the book so much.
Yeah, that what a beautiful tribute.
Thank you. I do, in all of my books, I really try to put something in them that helps people in their life. Because, you know, we read for enjoyment, and I write for enjoyment, but I also care about people's hearts so much. So in all of my stories, you know, each of my main characters goes through something that the reader, you know, maybe they haven't experienced themselves, but maybe they know somebody who's experienced something.
Mm-hmm.
And it is always been my wish, and I do find that I've heard that from people, that they walk away from my book with little nuggets of wisdom, with hope that maybe they didn't have before they started the book. So it's really important to me to put those type of things in the stories.
Well,
and so then my fourth book is called The Moments Between. And that one is about a woman who, her husband passes away. She gets killed in a train accident. And she's taken it pretty hard. She's left with her two little boys. And several months after the accident, she wakes up in the morning and he's in the house like he's never been gone. And her mind is just like whirling. She's like, I don't understand. Her little boys come in, they jump on the bed, you know, good morning, mommy. And her husband's in there shaving. He comes out, plays with the boys. And she's like very confused, as you can imagine. And she picks up her phone and she looks at the phone, and it's 3 months before the accident ever happened. So she writes it off as a really bad dream. She's like, okay, it's just, it's so vivid. It felt real. It felt like it was 6 months. It happened. But as she starts to go about her days, her weeks, and her months, things from the so-called dreams start happening. And she's powerless to stop them. Like a tray of cookies getting spilled on the floor. Like she knew it was going to happen, and she tried to stop it, and she couldn't. And she begins to realize that if those things are happening, her husband is going to die.
Wow.
So this is about her trying to stop fate. Can she stop it? Can she save her husband? And the book is, it also goes into the reason, because the book is about not controlling the end result, but actually what do we do with the time that we're given? That's part of what my character learns throughout the journey.
And all of your books are available. How can we purchase them?
So they are available on Amazon, mm-hmm, and on Barnes & Noble. So if anybody has Kindle, you can read them on that, or you can get a paperback version as well.
Awesome. Now, tell me a little bit about, as you went through this journey, what do you feel like was your most difficult obstacle that you faced to get from the day you started till book done?
I think self-doubt is a big struggle, and I think all of us as writers, you know, we look at our work and we always think it can be better. And, you know, that's the truth. I mean, anything that we do could, quote-unquote, be better. But I think the most important thing is just to do your best and then be proud of that. And I feel like, you know, the self-doubt can be crippling, you know, and it can affect your passion for what you're doing. You know, and even though, you know, we're not like visual artists, we are artists. We create worlds, you know, with our pens or, you know, our keyboards and, you know, self-doubt and over-analyzing can really break that creative flow. And I'm not saying that I don't still have self-doubt, because I'd be lying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even with the success that I've had and the readers that love my books, you know, you get a bad review, and it's very easy to say, oh, I bet that's the truth. Or I really think this book could be better. You know, it's a choice that we have to make every day to know that we're doing our best and just to believe in what we're doing and to move forward. Because self-doubt is just a toxin, and we don't need to let that fester in our life.
I love that advice. I think that's the best advice you could give anybody, just to believe in yourself and carry on.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree.
Very, very nice. So you've got 4 books out. You're working on number 5. What's left on your bucket list?
Well, I just want to keep writing. I mean, I've probably got 30 or 40 ideas for books. I'm sure a lot of you writers can relate. And, you know, just my bucket list is just keep writing and keep making people happy and see what God's got in store for me.
Right, right. Very, very good as well. Are you going to be doing any book signings or any appearances anywhere in North Carolina in the next few months that people could come and meet you?
Well, I actually have been invited just recently to the Southport Library. I will be there. I've got some other things in the works that haven't been solidified yet, but if anyone is interested in meeting me, if you want to go to my website, is www.nataliebanks.net and sign up for my newsletter. I never spam and I never share my email addresses, so you'll only get an email from me, you know, occasionally. I do update my subscribers, and then also to follow me on Instagram, official Natalie Banks, and also you can find me, Natalie Banks, on Facebook. I think it's Natalie Banks Novels is what you'd have to search on Facebook. Excuse me, on Facebook, and I will be sure to update on there where people can meet me. And if anyone's interested in signed copies of the books, can reach out to me on the social media platforms or email me through my website.
Awesome. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you this morning, and I really appreciate you sharing your time with us and good insightful information. And everybody out there listening, thanks for listening as always. And check out Natalie's books. I think you'll enjoy them.
Well, I have certainly enjoyed being here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Natalie. Take care.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Everybody has a story. Just let your mind drift away and find yours. I know it's out there. What are you waiting for?